Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Army Football Show. Off to a roaring start already, I can tell you. I am your guest host, Dano E. Cabeza. We thought Jordan was going to be with us, but of course his plane was held up and God knows where, so he is not with us yet. What can you do, man? Army beat a very hot UTSA team this past weekend to get to 8-0 in the American Athletic Conference, 10-1 on the season. With that, they won the conference regular season title in their very first year, wrapped up home field advantage for the American Conference Championship. All of that was awesome. Rob, man, how you feeling?
I am feeling great. Looking forward to this contest this weekend. I think Army has had the tougher challenges at this point. You know, not to downplay anything that Tulane has done, but it, like, I think we talked about it in the chat over one of the weekends during watching the games, is that Tulane just seems to be like the bully in the AAC right now, and they tend to pick on the teams that, you know, weren't doing so well, and they hang a lot of points. So that doesn't necessarily equate to success, but I also think it's going to be a tough contest. The bottom line is, you know, you got two quality teams playing for a conference championship. If you can't get up for that when there's hardware on the line, I can't help you.
True enough. I was nervous heading into this contest before we knew where it was going to be. The fact that it's going to be at Mikey Stadium makes me feel like this is definitely one that Army can win. And don't get me wrong, anything can happen on a college football Saturday, or in this case, Friday night. But I am feeling pretty optimistic just based on how things are shaking out. I sort of feel like Army's got a little bit of Team of Destiny vibes going. And, you know, for better or worse, I am fully bought into that stuff. So why don't you tell us about our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley?
All right. So if you've listened to this show before, you know that we have a sponsor here, and her name is Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a military veteran who spent her career, her Army career, in logistics. There, she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has decided to support Ask for Football this season, and she is the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. She also has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you need a place to land, she should be your first call. So if you're not even moving into the Fort Liberty / Fort Bragg area, you know, Jocelyn can help you find a place to stay. And with the housing market being as crazy as it is, it's always nice to get somebody that can help you. And she has a proven track record of success. As I trip over my tongue, but yeah, she has a proven track record of success. She's sold quite a few houses in a short period of time. She's closing in on like 300 plus in 5 years. She's a very good realtor, and I trust her with my life as a jump master. So I would also trust her with my mortgage and a new home. So I can't give a better endorsement than that. So back over to you, Dan.
So James Pagano says, I'm feeling cold. And so I ran over to grab this sweater that I just found. This is 100% wool. This is the kind of thing, and it's lined, this is the kind of thing that you would wear for a week of herding sheep in the Scottish Highlands. So just telling you, you got to have the right gear, friends. So we're obviously going to talk about that quite a bit later, but as we said, Army beat UTSA 29-24, and if they would have hit that field goal, they would have covered, but what are you going to do? Actually, we have 5 points on the board, which is amazing considering, you know, all things considered with how this game shook out. UTSA's rushing defense came as advertised. The Roadrunners came into this game with the nation's 9th-ranked rushing defense. After playing Army, they are now the nation's 20th-ranked rushing defense, just to show you what the Black Knights can do to you. Among other things, this Roadrunners team has probably the best nose tackle in the AAC, which is a thing I did not realize until I was watching the game back, listening to commentary. For the season as a whole, they've given up just 3.1 yards per carry, and that remains true even after this game. I mean, Army, as well as they ran the ball at times, still only ever managed to get about 3.6 yards per carry. But they, you know, ran the ball a lot and finished with a grand total of 217 yards, despite getting nothing up the middle. Quarterback Bryson Daly, of course, did what he does. 27 carries, 147 yards, two rushing touchdowns. Got 47 of those yards on one carry. 10 of 17 through the air for 190 yards and a touchdown. He was off target on maybe two or three throws. Had a couple of drops. Pretty good day passing the ball, though, when it's 35 degrees outside with, you know, moderate wind. I would say that's decent. Slot back Noah Short, 14 carries for 46 yards, often in clutch situations. Army had a lot of trouble blocking UTSA's corners on the outside. But when they got those blocks, Short really made the most of them. Also had two critical catches for 35 yards. Tyrell Robinson, not the best day carrying the ball, five carries, 8 yards, but really tough sledding when they ran in Robinson's directions. But he had three critical catches for 46 yards and one long touchdown. That was badass. And then finally, wide receiver Casey Reynolds, 4 catches, 81 yards. That dude is a monster wide receiver. Is he the best wide receiver we've seen at Army in the month?
Yeah, in a while. And the thing was, he was very, very, you know, again, hey, look, you know, they used to call him wide blockers back in the day because, like, they weren't going to catch anything. And now, I mean, if you watch it, you know, UTSA's defense was baiting Army to throw.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and the success of all the receivers just – That was the difference in the game, to be completely honest. I mean, like, they could have slugged it out in the trenches probably for 3 or 4 quarters. But when, you know, they started getting into the pass action and, you know, I was chatting with a couple of Army football alums over the weekend. I was like, hey, man, the naked bootleg is there. It's there. It's there. And I've been saying it and saying it and saying it. And then when they finally ran it, you know, they had all the action kind of rotating towards the left-hand side. And then you saw the two, like – the two backside, the guard and tackle pulled and went in the opposite direction and basically, you know, blocked and cleared the road for Daly to get in on that long touchdown run in the third quarter or at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And that was really the backbreaker. But I mean, all of that was generated off of the fact that they were connecting on the passes. So then they had to respond to the passing play and it caught them short. And that was amazing to see. And Casey Reynolds, again, probably the best wide receiver that we've had in a while, but he's probably one of the most targeted ones that we've had in a while also. So it's kind of difficult to say, but coach is going to throw more balls your way if you catch them, right? So, I mean, I guess that makes the most sense.
It seems like for a long time, the slotbacks caught more balls in the offense. Seeing actual wide receivers catch balls in this offense is an improvement. And the fact that they feel like they can throw a 7-yard out to these guys just to shake things up, that's an improvement. So moving on, you know, Army's defense also played really, really well this week. Held running back Brandon High Jr. to just 61 yards on 16 carries. That dude had two impressive TD runs in the red zone. I mean, hats off to him. Nobody else has done that against this Army team. But other than that, he really did not do much. Quarterback Owen McCowan finished 17 of 28 passing for 207 yards, a touchdown and 2 picks on long throws. James pointed out, you know, that dude, he does not have the world's strongest arm. He was throwing some rainbows and they kind of hung up. His scrambling was probably the best part of UTSA's offense at times. 6 carries for 50 yards. He's, you know, he should consider doing that more. Like, they could design some quarterback runs for him. That's my hot take. Even with all of that, though, UTSA managed just 117 yards on 4.5 yards per carry, 6 of 12 on third down, 1 of 2 on fourth down. And that fourth down stop deep in their own territory was arguably the most important play of the game. And, you know, Coach Munkin said afterwards that Army would have gone for that in that case, too. You know, they were down and they had to keep the ball and keep it moving, but what a backbreaker to go for it on 4th and 1 on your own, I think it was 11-yard line, and miss. Yeah. I mean, Jesus. So no coming back from that. And then finally, kicker Trey Granati went 3 of 4 on field goals with a miss from 47 yards out. It was cold, man. That was a tough kick. You know, he had just barely enough leg on it, but he just pushed it a little to the left. You'd like to make that one, but that's not the reason that Army won or lost. So, any more thoughts before I talk about this more?
Yeah, legitimately, honestly, I think one of the things is, again, the defense played well, but you have to also give credit to the UTSA's offense, right? They scouted they scouted the defense pretty well. Defense is nicked up a little bit as well on the inside, so they were able to get some, you know, some runs over the nose tackle position because we had some injuries there, which is, you know, not atypical for it's not atypical for college football in week 15, right? That should not be a surprise that you're going to have some player rotations. But I think all in all, what they, you know, what what UTSA did was they baited Army to throw, and it cost them. You know, again, we mentioned that before, but the passing game was the big difference. And now for all other teams that have Army on the schedule, now they got to figure out, like, okay, crap, like, Daly can actually throw. So I have to cover everybody that's kind of floating around as a receiver because they're not just, you know, using the pass action to create runs. They're passing to create yards.
Yeah, you know? Right, exactly.
And, you know, a long touchdown on the opening drive does not, you know, does not help you, like, oh, crap. Like, he just threw it, you know, 35 yards in the air. Crap. You know, I'm the free safety trying to cover a running back, and then he's running in the end zone.
It's amazing. All that, sorry, go ahead.
No, but what I was going to say, and all that being said, it's also nice to see Tyrell Robinson getting in the end zone, regardless of how he does it, but he got in there, which is great.
I mean, one thing I noticed, we talked about McCallum throwing some of those rainbows, but Daly has really got a cannon, man. That pass to Tyrell Robinson, that was on target. Yeah. Like, and it looked didn't good. Hang there. That thing got it zipped.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he caught it in stride and ran it to the end zone.
Yeah.
That's what you want. Like, all Daly needs now is a receiving touchdown, and he's Josh Allen, right? So.
So I agree, man. Extremely impressive win on both sides of the ball. I think UTSA has a really good team. You know, they are peaking. They beat Memphis. You know, they haven't lost a game in a month. You know, this team is good. Like, they really have done a lot in the past month. And, you know, statistically speaking, this is the best rushing defense in the American Conference by over half a yard. Yeah. And that is crazy. So just for comparison, right, UTSA, the Roadrunners, are giving up just over 3.1 yards per carry, which is very good, right? That's very good. Memphis is giving up 3.77. ECU is giving up 3.96. You got Army at 3.99, South Florida at 4.0, and then Tulane at 4.17 yards per carry. So we're going into a game against a team with another good rushing defense, but they are allowing a full yard per carry more than the team that we just played. And you know, in terms of that does not tell us how the game is going to go. But it does set a certain expectation. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at it on the field, I think one of the things that we can say, too, with some confidence is that they made some adjustments in the playbook, you know, this week. Absolutely. That paid off. That paid off, you know, and like, you know, of course, Monday morning quarterback, hindsight being 2020, where, you know, fans are always going to bitch, like, oh, man, like, why do they keep running the QB power? Why do they keep running the fullback dive? Like, because they work? Duh. You know, but the other part of it is like, yeah, it's always nice to have Army open up the playbook, because now, this late in the season, now I've got a scheme against all that other stuff, you know, particularly when you don't have the, you know, the same level of athletes. And looking at the Notre Dame game is very, very much as like looking at LSU last year, you know, like,
for sure.
It's not a good comparison, just because there's a significant difference in size, speed, and athleticism. But when you get back into the American Conference, all things are closer to being equal. So that it's more parity there. And because there's parity, like, it's all about angles and, you know, creating opportunities for yourself.
So UTSA had like the same amount of size as Notre Dame, maybe on their defensive line, but not the same amount of speed by any means on their defensive line. And on the outside, they maybe had that kind of speed on the outside, but not the same kind of size. You know, those Notre Dame guys, there was just those cornerbacks were like American Conference linebackers. There's just no blocking those guys. And we saw this week that the guys struggled to block at times on the outside. So, by the way, just for comparison, Navy is giving up 4.3 yards per carry, and Tulsa, just to kind of round this out, so you get a sense of like what bad looks like, Tulsa's giving up 4.8. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. I think a half yard is worth a lot. So, anyway, fact or fiction review. Rob, we both totally failed this week.
Yeah,
I said Army gets two red zone turnovers. Army got two turnovers. They were both either in the red zone or right at the edge of the red zone, but they were on long passes downfield. UTSA actually did very well with their red zone offense. So you said fiction. I said fact. You were right, I guess. And you said Kanye Udo got 75 yards and rushing this week. Dude, he maybe got 7 yards rushing this week.
But he got stoned pretty well. But again, I think it created opportunities. I like to see, like, there's a lot more of the pitch game. There's counter pitch this week too. And so those are all good things, you know. And again, all things being equal, having Army pass is good for later down the road. And I'm not going to say anything else about that, but, you know, we have some other competition that likes to run the ball a lot. So the opportunity to break something loose in the passing game is a good thing.
All right. So, Rob, I'm going to ask you to read this commercial for Craig Oxane, since I am hosting this show and I can do that.
Absolutely. Hey, so, you know, speaking of not failing, unlike our fact or fiction, we have a guy who's not going to fail you when you're looking for a new mortgage. So if you've listened to the show at all, you know that we have a sponsor by the name of Craig Oxane. Craig is the area sales manager and mortgage broker for the Money Store. So that is a change. I actually updated the graphics. Thanks for the guys in the Firstie Club for calling out. I made that correction already, so it should be in the lead and the trail of the show. He's class of 1994, can lend in all 50 states. He's one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He has super competitive rates. Craig's is going to give you the best deal possible. Friends, with this whole mortgage process being super confusing, interest rates moving all over the place, now is not the time to deal with some clown who's just trying to make a buck off of you. Deal with somebody who actually cares. Not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. This is how the network or the West Point network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we are helping you to get a better deal on a mortgage by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig doesn't charge lenders fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, $1,300. $1,300. Like, hey, look, if you don't want that money, please put it in an envelope, address it to Ask for Football Christmas Fund, and we will spend that money for you. Look, it's Craig Oxane, area sales manager at the Money Store. Check him out. The link's on our website. He's got a business card. Click on it, and you'll be talking with Craig in no time. Thanks.
Yeah. In all honesty, man, Craig has been keeping this show afloat for years, and the least you can do if you need a mortgage is ask the guy to give you a quote. So that's all I'm going to say. All right, so let's talk about this Tulane American Conference championship game, right? Tulane comes into this weekend's contest at 9-3. They beat FCS Southeast Louisiana State, or Southeast Louisiana, excuse me, to open the season. They then lost to a good K-State team and a decent Oklahoma team. Then they beat a very good Louisiana team playing in the Sun Belt Championship this weekend, 41-33. They were then perfect in the conference up until Thanksgiving night when they lost to Memphis at home, 34-24. And, you know, worth noting, former Troy coach John Summerall serves as Tulane's current head coach right now. This is his first year with the program. It looks very much like it's going to be his last year with the program as well. You know, media is calling him, quote, the hottest name in college football. He's been linked to a ton of openings already, including UCF and Purdue, with more opportunities likely coming available in the next couple of weeks. So it will be interesting to see where Summerall goes, but this, in all likelihood, this is his last game coaching Tulane.
No.
If I had to bet, that would be the way that I would bet. So on offense, this is a run first ball control offense that can make explosive plays down the field in the passing game. And if that sounds familiar, it should, because they play very similarly to the service academies, at least at a strategic level. They are, James Pagano says, good, hire Summerall and leave Jeff Monken alone. So they are the number 12 rushing offense in the country, averaging 5.0 yards per carry and 212.9 yards per game. They have 32 rushing touchdowns. This offense runs about three times more often than they pass. Running back Makai Hughes is most of this offense. He's got 243 carries for 1,300 yards, 5.4 yards per carry, 15 rushing touchdowns. To put that into perspective, quarterback Bryson Daly has 240 carries for 1,350 yards, 5.6 yards per carry, 25 rushing touchdowns. Bottom line, Hughes is putting up very, very similar numbers to Bryson Daly. Yeah. Now, if that doesn't tell you something, you ain't paying attention, right? Quarterback Darian Mensah has 172 of 262 passing for 2,500 yards, a whopping 65.6% completion percentage. It's got 20 touchdowns against just five picks and 16 sacks. That is pretty good. He's also a good runner after netting out sacks, with 16 sacks is kind of a lot. He's taken 34 carries for 204 yards, 6 yards per carry, plus a touchdown. He is not like a run first guy, but he is definitely one of the better running quarterbacks that we've seen. I feel like we've seen a lot of these dudes lately. Wide receiver Mario Williams leads the team with 48 catches for 831 yards and 4 touchdowns. You've also got wide receivers Dante Fleming and Yo'Keith Brown, each have about 30 catches. Fleming looks to be more of the downfield threat, where Brown is Tulane's possession receiver. And then kind of rounding that out, you've got tight end Alex Bauman, 15 catches, 171 yards, 6 touchdowns. Yeah, dude is a tight end, right? In a passing offense. So
yeah, for sure.
This offense has just 10 turnovers all year, 5 fumbles, 5 picks. So yeah, this is, I mean, these guys are statistically right on par with what Army is doing. You want to talk about defense?
Yeah. And it's, and not a surprise that they're in the American Conference Championship, right? Cause they're solid. Absolutely. Like you have two, this is almost like a mirror image game. This is probably going to be closer to a Service Academy game than we would like, to be honest, because again, like, we're used to like shutting down these prolific passing quarterbacks are keeping the scrambler inside and, you know, keeping him from breaking the game wide open. But Tulane's defense, they're number 34 in the nation for rushing defense. They're allowing 123.5 yards a carry at just under 4.2 yards per carry, which is difficult, because when you start getting between like the 30th and the 50th rushing defense, like, you're arguing over decimal points. It's true. It's really, you know, it's really a lot closer at the top, and at least the top half of yards per game as far as defense is concerned. Tulane's top five tacklers are Tyler Grubbs, linebacker Sam Howard, safety Bailey Dispinani, Jack T. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name. I'll butcher it. And safety Kevin Adams. I'd like to take this as the green wave run a base big nickel defense, similar to what Army does. Grubbs and Howard are both terrific players. Collectively, they have 96 tackles, 59 solos, 5.5 sacks, 2 passes defended, 3 picks, 1 forced fumble, 5 fumble recoveries. The Tulane defense has 34 team sacks, with 2 different linemen having 4.5 sacks each. They've also forced 12 fumbles and made 12 interceptions. That is a lot, folks. That's a lot of turnover action. You know, we'd like to say that, oh, it's because they had, you know, lesser opponents. But at some point, if you're turning over, like, if you got more than, you know, 10 at the end of the season, both in interceptions and in fumbles, you're creating those opportunities for yourself. It's not like they're just falling into your laps. For special teams, you got freshman place kicker Patrick Durkin. He started against Memphis. He's 14-on-14 on extra points. He's 2-of-2 of field goals, and his long for the season is 44 yards out. Punter Will Carroll, with the K, has 3 punts versus Memphis for 100 yards, not inside the 20, is at a long of 37. Maybe Army can take can make something with that in 20-degree weather, because guess what? When it's cold, it's very, very hard to kick the ball. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, there's a reason why, you know, College Game Day does the whole kicker shenanigans things, like, oh, you want to pick on kickers? And the reason why is because kicking is actually harder than it looks. It's not something that can be done very, very easily just coming in off the street. But it's going to be an interesting game. And I'll kick it back over to you so we could talk weather and the betting line.
Yeah, so this is kind of like one of the big storylines is the weather, right? At least here at Azure Football. I don't know if people have really realized this yet, but this thing is going to be legit. Home field advantage is going to matter a lot in this game. You know, we're expecting cloudy skies on Friday night with temperatures in the lower to mid 20s with maybe 5 to 10 miles per hour of wind. For those of you that don't ski, that is real. There's a very slight chance of snow. Just for comparison, if you were out there on Saturday, that is 12 to 15 degrees colder than it was this past Saturday. So think of a day when it's 85 and compare that to a day when it's 70. That's the difference. It's a lot. And, you know, I don't know if you guys noticed, but UTSA looked miserable out there this past Saturday. From the stands, we could literally see their linemen, like, visibly wilting as the game progressed. And one of the guys sitting around me noticed that they didn't even own a team heater. And I'm sort of wondering, like, if you're from New Orleans, do you own a team heater?
No.
I want to get one of those.
Yeah. No joke.
So, yeah, I mean, there's just no way in hell for a team from New Orleans to prepare for weather like they're going to see Friday night. Like, no way in hell. If you've never experienced 20 degree temperatures for an extended period of time, and just judging by the betting line and social media, like a lot of you guys have never done that, it can be legitimately life changing. So, you know, we wrote an article today, how to not die out at this game while you're watching it from the stands, and feedback was that's very informative. So
no joke. New York in the wintertime, man, like yeah. that is no joke.
I mean, this quarterback Darian Mensah, he's a great quarterback, but my man is from San Luis Obispo, California, yeah, which is in Southern California, and he goes to school in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Has he ever even been in this weather before?
No, I think he's in for a rough time. Like, you know, one of my most vivid memories of being at West Point is when they're dumping the snow trucks in the Hudson River and you're watching these icebergs float down and you're like, man, why am I here? Like, I signed up for this. Like, I don't know if this is the best idea, but yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think the cold will have something to play with it. Plus with the wind, you know, no stands to break that up on the east side. You're sitting next to Lusk Reservoir. Brace for the cold, man. The uniform for the football game is as for parka and anything that you can fit underneath it.
Yeah, that's the truth. So James Pagano says, how much whiskey can one drink and still follow the game? I don't know, man. In all sincerity, James, be careful with that, because that is legitimately one way that people die in the cold. Matthew Scrivener says, I forgot who said it, but Tulane, welcome to hell. The circle is frozen. Yeah, that was me. I said that in the quick dates. On Patreon. James also says he lived in North Jersey his whole life and he's not ready. And Old Sarge says, James, I haven't quite found out how much whiskey, but I intend to keep trying. So
so make sure that you have a sleeping bag out in your car, so when somebody goes down, you can at least snuggle for warmth.
Yeah, that's the truth. So the betting line this week opened at Army +4. It's since slid to Army +6. So Black Knights are about a touchdown underdogs at this point at home, which is, I just think that's nutty. I mean, it's good. I think it's good for the team psychology, but I don't understand. Yeah,
if they were smart, it would just be a push, man, to be honest. I think, but you know, it's Vegas.
They got to do something with everything else. Yeah.
Well, especially if you watch the trend in the second half of the season, like the home field advantage actually matters, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it totally does.
For sure.
Matthew Scrivener says that on the UTSA broadcast, they were talking about plug-in coats for the Roadrunners, which is, hey, that's cool. Over-under opened at 48.5. It now sits at 46.5. Pro money has come in on the under, and honestly, given the weather, if you're not taking the under, you're out of your mind. I just don't know how much passing is going to be effective in a 20 degree day with wind. I mean, that just doesn't strike me as smart. Public money has also come in on Tulane. Yeah, whatever that's worth. So, yeah, man. Rob, takes on the game?
Yeah, my take on the game, like, this is going to be a very, very old school game. Like, it's going to be cold. It's going to be, you know, who can control the football the best and the longest, and, you know, prevent the chunk plays. And it sounds very familiar, and I probably said this a couple times this season, but, you know, one of the things that affects the SP Plus now is explosive plays. And part of the reason why Army has been climbing up the rankings in SP all season is because of the explosive plays that the offense is producing. So now you got two highly explosive offenses. One does it in the passing game, one does it in the running game. So who's going to hit the home run first? It's going to be a lot more difficult to do with it being cold. And, like, look, it's a hell of a lot more fun being a defensive player in the cold than it is being an offensive player, because at least you're delivering the blow rather than receiving it. So I would much rather hit somebody when it's cold than get hit. And that's just my opinion, and that's, like, just the way that I think it is. And I think defensive players get up for games like this because they know, you know, the offensive players' hands are going to be cold. They're not going to want to get hit. And, you know, if you want to talk about people shying away from contact, they will really shy away from contact when you get that bone jarring hit and you're like, oh man, I got to do this again. You know, like it's not fun. So I think the cold will actually have something to play in this game. I think also home field advantage is going to have something. You're going to have the core cadets is going to be there. The fans are going to be behind Army, and doggone it, you got hardware on the line, man. Army has the opportunity to get hardware for the next three games. That's what's nuts. Not to get up for, right? There's hardware on the line for the next three games.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing about it is that psychologically, once you doubt yourself for an instant, like once you just have that creeping doubt in the back of your mind, like, God, it's so cold. Why am I here? You are screwed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that that is going to be that to me is the intangible. But while, you know, just kind of on the numbers, teams that have beaten Tulane this year have been able to keep Mekhi Hughes in check, right? Oklahoma held him to 71 yards on 19 carries. Memphis held him to just 15 yards on 9 carries and really beat the snot out of this team. Navy even held him to 82 yards on 22 carries, which is why the game stayed relatively close, despite the fact that Blake Horvath got hurt almost immediately. I mean, once Horvath went out, Navy's offense fell apart, like totally fell apart. They wound up holding the ball for just 24 minutes, and they still only gave up 3 touchdowns through the first 45 minutes of that game, and that's with 2 turnovers. So I feel like maybe some folks took the wrong lessons from that game. I mean, if Blake Horvath doesn't get hurt, I'm not sure Navy wins, but I think that game's close.
Yeah, I think it's a lot closer than it stands. It took Woodson like what up until last week really to start clicking with offense. Like it took him 3 weeks to kind of get it together, and even still, you know, not that I'll deep dive. We may have to ask the witty mitty like who was taking all the snaps that week after Horvath got hurt, because it looks like the first week they were trying to keep Horvath in, then he got hurt again, and then the next week, you know, when Woodson came in after taking reps with the first team, he looked a lot better. So yeah, that's what my gut is telling me. You know, I don't know that for sure. We'll have to poke our Navy insiders to see what happens, but it's going to be a rough one, man. It's going to be cold. It's going to be one of those games that, you know, it's cliches of college football. Hold on to the ball.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Throw when you want to, not when you have to. I think that's going to be one of the big differences in the game too. So if Army can throw and have success like they did against UTSA, then they're going to be okay, because that was very, very selective. It wasn't like, you know, in Army seasons past, we're like, oh crap, we're down, we're trying to throw to stay in the game. We're throwing because that's what the defense gave us. And I think that is going to be, you know, one of the big differences is if we can take what the defense gives us, then it's a better opportunity for Army.
I absolutely think it's a massive advantage that they can sit there and practice in the weather this week and get a feel for what that's like. Because the weather was a factor in the UTSA game. Like it really was. Maybe not so much in the execution, but you could see it. Like they were not having a good time. And when they lost that game, they just walked off quietly. You know, a couple of people came over to shake Bryson Daly's hands because he's having like the legendary season. But for the most part, UTSA just sort of picked up their stuff and shuffled off. And I really, it's just going to be miserable out there. And whichever team can sort of manage that emotionally is going to have such an advantage. And being on your home turf in front of your fans, I just think that that's a huge deal. So we shall see. All right, let's get into a little fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Rob.
Fact or fiction, Kanye Udoh and Bryson Daly combined for 150 yards rushing this week.
Dude, they better. Give me fact. And Firsty Club, give us a fact or fiction to, because we don't have Jordan here. So he would have asked you for one anyway.
I'm going to say fact.
I mean, that's got to be fact or Army's going to get blown the hell out of in this game.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be a very close contest. I don't want to see it go into overtime, but it's possible that it could, just because it's going to be a cold, low scoring game, and like it can go either way, but we'll see. Yeah.
So my fact or fiction is Army gets at least one sack and one interception.
Yeah, that's fact agreement. I'm going to go with fact. I mean, that one's almost too easy as well, because I legitimately think that, you know, the defense is pretty hungry, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that this kid hasn't thrown very many interceptions. Yeah. But, you know, that kid from North Texas hadn't thrown very many interceptions, and he threw two. And Owen McCallum hadn't exactly thrown a shitload of interceptions, and he threw two. So yeah.
I think what it is, though, like if especially like if you get behind in cold weather, you've got to do something to make that large chunk play. And sometimes it's throwing, and that's risky business against the Army secondary. I mean, Army secondary
yeah.
has been,
especially down the field. Yeah.
Has been getting to the ball. So I think that's legitimate. And then so from the Firsty Club, Matt says Army has two passing touchdowns.
Oh, dude, I got to go fiction on that one. I mean, in 20 degree weather with wind, listen, anything can happen. Be awesome, I guess. I feel like whoever gets the lead and can just sit on it is probably going to be the happy team in this game. But I don't know. I wouldn't bet that way.
Yeah, I'm going to say the winner has at least 5 to 7 minutes longer than the time of possession than the losing team.
Yeah.
I don't see that going any other way. Yeah.
Yeah. James Pagano has a good one. Less than two field goals total.
Oof. I'll say fact. I think if people get in scoring range, they're going to try and go for touchdowns. And because they know it's going to be low scoring, I think the opportunity to go for it on fourth down just outside the red zone or just inside the red zone is going to happen, because it's like, hey, look, if I got fourth and two, I'm going to go for it. You know, that's kind of how I look at it, but who knows? We'll add that one in there. Dana, what do you think?
I'm going to say fiction. I think you might see some field goals in this game. I don't know that you're going to see any long field goals, but like UTSA forced Army to kick some field goals, and being able to kick those field goals is actually good. Like, obviously you'd rather score touchdowns, but shit happens, and you'd like to be able to walk away with 3 points if it's, you know, fourth and seven from the 10-yard line or whatever.
Yeah. I think one of the things, though, is like angles are going to matter, particularly with the wind. Mm. So that changes the calculus of how you how you're like, if you're on first down, like you can take the shot or, you know, run the dive play or whatever. But if you're on third down, third and short, you know, it's going to change the calculus of what plays you call. At least it should, by comparison, get yourself in position to have the best opportunity to hit that field goal. But we will see.
All right, so I just want to talk briefly about how you can help Ask for Football. We've discussed this a few times this season. AFF is growing, especially our written content. You know, random stuff takes off. You know, people really, like I said, got into today's How to Not Die at Mikey Stadium This Weekend article. You know, and the reason that matters is because a lot of these social media places actively demote sharing links now on their space. Like Twitter, they don't want you to share links. They want you to just post all this stuff right there. Facebook artificially reaches the limits of artificially limits the reach of our unpaid posts, which is why sometimes you'll get sent straight to Messenger if you're on Facebook. You know, it's a shakedown. They don't want our content on our site for our advertisers. They want our content on their site for their advertisers. And I'm not even making a value judgment about it. I'm just telling you, like, this is the world that Ash Football lives in right now. So that is why we keep talking about the mailing list, right? Because we have to reach directly to you, you know, the people that support Ash for Football, to keep you invested and keep you like sort of doing the things that help us grow and not the things that help, you know, social media sites grow. And listen, social media is great for helping us get the word out, but I'm just telling you, like, that business model for us is coming to an end, and I'm not sure what's going to be next, but you know, that mailing list is going to be a huge part. So sign up for the mailing list. And if you have friends who like Army football or even just like college football, but aren't on social media or don't know AFF, forward them our weekly mailer. That is probably the best thing you can do to help us, just to sort of introduce them. Like, hey, you know, if you're interested in Army football, this is this thing that I like. And of course, if you want more, there's our Patreon that supports us monetarily, helps us, you know, pay the people that put this together and pay for the stuff that we have to make this content. So that's it. Thank you very much for your support. We absolutely couldn't do this without you. So yeah, if you're listening to this, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Dano. You said you have a favorite thing. You want to dive into this a little bit more?
Yeah, I guess I am talking a lot here. What can you do? So, like I said, frostbite's going to be a real concern at Friday night's game. Probably the best thing that you can do, and I wrote about this today, as I said, is to bring some of those little chemical hand and toe warmers with you. They also make body warmers, and that stuff is a good idea, but it's especially a good idea for your fingers and toes, because once you start getting cold, the blood flow to your extremities lessens, which then makes you even colder in your fingers and toes, right? And this is how you get frostbite. So those little chemical hand and toe warmers, good thing for you to have, and will keep you from like getting frostbite. That's number one. Speaking personally, I bought a pair of insulated boots for Army Navy, wore them for the first time last week. Those things were game changers. They were awesome. Did not spend a lot of money, and I think you can find those cheap. I also plan to wear some insulated soft shell pants that I sometimes wear for warm weather skiing. I definitely recommend a full face mask, balaclava, gaiter, you know, the whole thing. And finally, change your freaking socks. Drive to the game in one pair of socks. Take those socks off, put on a fresh pair of wool socks, and then put on your boots. Because you do not want to put on those boots under wet, over wet socks. Your feet, you'll never get those feet cold again. If you think of this as a day skiing where you don't actually ski, but you just sit on the freaking chairlift all day, that is going to be the experience out there. So do yourself a favor and don't sweat or overheat beforehand, but also think about how you would insulate for a ski day if you're going to be on the chairlift and you want to be comfortable. That's it.
Yeah, one of the things I would encourage, warm liquids before and during if you can. And the other part of it is like carry. Nice, Ray. That, absolutely true. But you can take Motrin. However, what that will do, that will thin your blood and make you colder. So do not take any NSAIDs or Tylenol, because that will reduce the amount of blood flow, because your blood will be thinner and you will get colder. So, you know. Take it from a guy who went to freaking Winter Ranger school and froze his butt off and spent multiple times in the mountains, you know, both in Afghanistan and in Dahlonega, Georgia. So be prepared for the cold. Like if it looks cool, it probably doesn't work. Like normally in cold weather situations, ugly stuff keeps you the warmest. So that's all I got on that one.
Well, Old Sarge says, what about the fedora? Dude, I have not worn that fedora one time this season. We went from too hot to too cold with absolutely no stages in the middle. It's been crazy. But I am looking forward to skiing. Like, you can't believe. There's snow. They got like 14 inches of snow in Vermont. All the places are open. I can't believe I can't ski yet. If it wasn't for this game, I'd be skiing this weekend. I mean, I am happy that Army's playing for the championship, but I'm just telling you, my wife and I would be skiing like Friday. Anyway. Nice. All right. That's all we got. Thank you very much for joining us. Go Army, beat Tulane.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate, for supporting us and the Long Gray Line. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, reach out to Jocelyn. She's got your back. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the show with your friends. And as always, beat Nathan.